Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game.
Okay, I'm Rob McQuay. It is a Trash Talk Tuesday here on the MQFL Live Network on blogtalkradio.com. My co-host is Jeff Coles out in snowy Mount Vernon. And you finally got home, Jeff?
Yeah, well, it took about 2.5 hours to drive a 55-minute commute, so,
goodness.
But I'll tell you, the temperature's going to drop now from the 20s down into place-kicking weather.
Oh, no. Mr. Blair Walsh, can you believe that? What was it, 27 yards?
He had it in the palm of his foot.
Yeah, yep.
Oh.
I will say, though, we just brought Philly Jeff in. How's it going, Mr. Dyer?
For all those people that are going to get all over Blair Walsh besides himself, why don't you go out in -3 degrees and see how you're going to make out?
Well, okay, but if I were paid $1 million to go out and do that, then, yeah, I'll do it. Look, I will say, Mr. Walsh, from all the reports that I've heard, he went into the locker room, he stood in his locker, and for 15 or 20 minutes, he answered every question that the media had. He didn't back down from it. You know, he didn't run into the shower real quick when he got in there or whatever.
Like I would.
You know, he took it like a man. And then the reports are that he sat down and he began uncontrollably sobbing for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, something like that. So I feel bad for him. Look, I kind of felt bad for Billy Cundiff. But, you know, and what about Mort Anderson in the, was that the Buffalo Super Bowl or forget which one that was. So,
but ask yourself the obvious, fairness, gentlemen. Why do these guys? Why is it that the other 50? I'm sorry. I guess they dress 46 or 47. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Why is it that the rest of the squad gets off to not play to put him in a situation like that? Where are the rest of them saying, "Well, you know, if we block better, if we thrown better, if we whatever, you know, I'm tired of it always coming down to." You know, I mean, look at it this way. If not for those two bonehead penalties, the Steelers would have lost. You know?
I want to get to
60 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to get to the Steelers-Bengals thing in just a minute. Philly Jeff, you're right. You're right. And actually, the Vikings teammates really don't have a whole lot to say to Mr. Walsh because if you look at the scoreboard, Blair Walsh scored the only points that the Vikings had because he hit three field goals before. So,
also go back and look at his season because, you know, he had quite a season too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the best place kickers in the NFL this year. And I don't know. Anything can happen. I doubt Walsh will lose his job over it, given the things that, you know, we've just said. But you never know. You never know. From what I understand in the Ravens locker room, I believe the management wanted to bring Billy Cundiff back, but there was such a outcry, I believe, from the players that they just couldn't they just couldn't do it and maintain any kind of safety. Well, maybe not safety is maybe not the right word, but you know, in the clubhouse, in the locker room, with the players.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, if you recall, and my big thing with that game was, don't put it all on Billy Cundiff. How about Lee Smith, or Lee Evans? The hell was it, Lee Evans? Not catching the ball in the end zone.
That I remember when you brought that up, and absolutely, that's correct.
Yeah. So, Mr. Dyer has an excellent point in terms of, you know, it comes down to one kick, but there are a lot of other things that have gone into that game that should keep it from coming down to that one play. But still, 27 yards. Now, here's what I want to know. Look at the placement on the field. What was the coaching staff thinking about not, like, running before the kick, running the ball to the right? Because it's lined up all the way on the left hash mark. How do you not get your kicker in position when you're down that far to have a better opportunity to make that kick?
They all get anybody? The blame. Every damn one of them.
There you go. All right, let's. I want to look at this Steelers Bengals thing for a minute because. Everything that I've been hearing for days now, is the two boneheaded penalties at the end of the game. And clearly the second penalty should never, ever, ever happen. Guys have got to control themselves when the play is – how do you get a penalty when there's no play going on? That should never happen. You know, Joey Porter, that little punk, is on the field as a coach. He should have gotten a penalty. This should have been an offsetting penalty. At any rate, let's throw all of that aside, gentlemen. Mr. Jeremy Hill fumbled the ball, which gave it back to the Steelers that allowed them to have any opportunity to get the Bengals to make any penalties on defense. Jeremy Hill has got to control the ball. If he holds on to that football, we don't even have this discussion, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, this is all about control. I mean, again, you just said control. About Jones. I mean, it's about control in that last part of the game.
No, you're right, and honestly, the Cincinnati Bengals in that playoff game looked like the 2015 Baltimore Ravens.
Mm.
And they deserved to lose for that reason.
Yeah.
Now, I'm no Steelers fan, so I'll certainly be rooting for Denver this coming week. All right. Jeff Dyer, is there any news that you've read about or heard in Philadelphia at this point, coaching-wise or anything?
Well, prior to that, keep in mind, I said a week ago, and if you don't think I was sweating blood, did I or did I not pick the Steelers and the Seahawks to go to the Super Bowl? And I had to – oh, God. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia.
It's not going to happen.
After what I just saw, I have to agree with you. Now, you know who looked good? Kansas City looked good.
They did. I don't know how they
really
get by. I'm not sure how they get by New England.
And meanwhile, back in Philadelphia, I received a contract in the mail this morning.
Yeah,
to be the head coach of the 3 years, $80 million.
Yeah.
I'm in.
That's great. I'm wondering. Go. Yeah.
Do not. I said this before. Do not hire Tom Coughlin. I can't stand the man's histrionics on the sideline, a la John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh. I knew you were going to say that.
I cannot watch these guys do this hysterical. You know, Rob, I know you're not a Steelers fan, and I know he tends to get a little whatever, but you know who I'd take in Philadelphia today if he was available? Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I get that.
He gets more out of less. You know, injuries and age and all that stuff, and he's still – I'd take him today. But it's not – who are they going to get? I don't know.
Well, look, I can certainly see – a desire to have Mike Tomlin in Philadelphia because the Philadelphia defense needs a lot of help. And Tomlin has proven that, you know, he can step on the field and disrupt plays because he's a dirty player.
That is unnecessary. Oh, man. Okay, fine. I'll take their previous coach, Bill Cowher. Get out of the booth and come on. The guys they've interviewed are a farce. All of them. They're 0-6 on interviews.
Here's one for you, Philly Jeff. How about Nick Saban?
Oh no, no more college coaches.
I mean, look, Saban's problem, I mean, he was one of those, like a Spurrier, that couldn't translate to the NFL. But my goodness, is he one of the greatest college football coaches of all time? I mean, I think he is with that win last night.
They anointed him this morning. They said he's the man, maybe even better than Bear Bryant. That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah. I didn't hear better then. I heard maybe right behind Bear Bryant,
in that conversation,
absolutely.
That's great.
All right. Well, you know, Philadelphia. Obviously, they're looking for a coach. Bigger problems a state over where the Cleveland Browns are your ultimate mystery team because they don't know who they're. General manager, head coach, or quarterback for next year?
Well, you know, we've been joking about them all week, and, you know, there's nothing else you can really do here in Cleveland. You know, people are talking about, you know, bringing a big-name guy, you know, into Cleveland, like, Bill Cowher or something like that. I don't know where they're going to go with this.
I think it's got to start with the general manager. Now, answer me this question, Jeff, because Jeff Coles, because you live in that area. You don't live in Cleveland, but you're outside of Cleveland. In fact, my wife and I were talking about this just yesterday. What the heck? What has happened? What is it about Cleveland? Because if you look at it, first of all, the original Browns, they won championships. They never won a Super Bowl. I don't believe they've actually even been to a Super Bowl, but they won championships in the NFL. But since the Super Bowl era, they haven't won. They have mostly been a poor team. They had some playoff runs right before Art Modell moved them, but they never were able to, you know, get past, I guess, the first or second round. Moved to Baltimore, and the first couple years of the Ravens, they weren't good. Obviously, about the third or fourth year, they win the Super Bowl, and they go on to be a winning franchise with two Super Bowls and numerous playoff runs. The Cleveland gets the new Browns back, and the new Browns, with a new owner, new general manager, are just as terrible as the Browns were basically before they moved to Baltimore. What is it about Cleveland?
Well, now the Browns weren't really terrible up to their move. I mean, for the most part, they were in the playoffs, or they were fighting for a spot. But this particular franchise, that the new Browns, has never gotten any traction because ownership has been short-sighted. They've hired short-sighted management, and management never seems to listen to their scouts. They've had a series of bad draft choices for a reason, and that's because they're not looking at people for their fundamentals. They're looking at statistics. That's why you get your Tim Couches. That's why you get your Johnny Football, and I won't even discuss that one picture of him on the internet, which is
right. All right, now you've made a claim. You've made a claim, and I just pulled up the Browns history thing here. I'm going to go back and start at 1990. Okay, 1990,
okay.
3-13.
Okay, yeah.
91, 6-10. 92, 7-9. 93, 7-9. 94, 11-5. 95, 5-11. And then they moved.
Sort of up and down in the 90s.
In that 6-year span, you know, in the 90s, they only had one winning season. Let's go back. 1980, 11-5, 5-11, 4-5, 9-7, 5-11, 8-8, 12-4, 10-5, 10-6, 9-6. Oh, 9-6 and 1. So the mid to late 80s, they were a decent team.
Yeah.
But for 20 years before, 15 years before they moved, they had more losing seasons than they did winning seasons. So I don't understand. I mean, and that was with Art Modell. And now you have a new owner. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a rhetorical question because you're never going to figure it out. But it just seems like what the heck is going on in Cleveland that they just can't ever seem to win in the Super Bowl era.
Yeah. Yeah, and
in the water.
A couple seconds come close, and you know, let it slip away.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's enough on Cleveland. You know, I guess maybe you alluded to this, but they don't ever seem to draft well either.
Absolutely,
they seem, you know, either draft the wrong person, or when they draft a good player. And like, who's the guy that's been suspended forever?
Johnny Manziel?
No. The wide receiver. Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon.
Yes. They don't listen to their, like I said, they don't listen to the scouts. You know, they get a guy who is, you know, $1 million talent with a 50-cent head.
Yeah.
That's Josh. You know, it's like the Bengals are following the same stream as well. You know, that's why they're signing guys like Pac-Man Jones and Perfect. I mean, no one drafted Perfect, and there's a reason for that. This is a very talented player who cannot control his emotions on the field.
Yes. Yeah. No, that you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And of course, Pac-Man Jones has had his issues ever since he's been in the league. Gosh, who did he play before? Was it Tennessee or Panthers?
The Tigers.
Okay. Tigers.
Okay. But, you know, we talked about this last week, you know, about talent, but also about teamwork and about, you know, that sort of thing that those intangibles that you got to have those when you're playing ball. Or, I mean, all the talent in the world can be worthless if you're going to, you know, go out there with selfish motives and not play as a team.
Yeah, right.
Well, play back the first quarter of the of that game and listen to the announcers. Listen to how they're touting Perfect. I mean, seriously, they were all over this guy. Uh-huh. And by the way, I'm waiting for Jerry Jones to make a phone call to get Perfect and Pac-Man in Dallas. And then he can have the assholes at once.
Along with Manziel.
Johnny Manziel, yeah.
That's right. Let's make sure we get Johnny. Anybody that's troubled or stupid ought to end up in Dallas uniform.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're 4-12? Because they have a dope owner, and unfortunately, so does Cleveland. That guy, he shouldn't be owning anything except maybe a string of discos. But, you know, Jerry Jones has this open heart for every one of the, you know, you got Greg Hardy in there, and that guy's useless. You know, and why does Jason Garrett still have a job? I got to wonder if he's got a special relationship with Jerry Jones. Because he would have been gone 3 years ago. He's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, he's got, well, and I know, and I told my brother this 3 years ago, or whenever they re-upped Tony Romo for that longer contract. I said, that's the best news I can hear, because they're not going to win a Super Bowl with Tony Romo. And look what's happened. He's either hurt or incompetent. And that either one of those is fine with me. And this is what Dallas does. They continue to invest in criminals, in dopes, and I'm telling you, 4-12, let's see what happens next year. You know, same game, they might win two games. Unfortunately, it's one of them will be against us.
Yeah, right. I still think the biggest blunder for them last year was letting DeMarco Murray go. That was was just stupid. And you see what see what happened, because he didn't do anything in with the Eagles. So that was just a stupid move. I'm not so sure. I mean, I've always kind of been on that same wavelength with you, Jeff, about Tony Romo, but I don't know. I kind of feel like if Romo is healthy, I think they can win a Super Bowl with him if he's healthy. I think his dopiness, I think he's learned and gotten beyond that. I could be wrong, but it just, from what I see when he actually is on the field, makes me kind of feel like if he stayed healthy, maybe they could. Or at least
they
get
could use
there.
A good backup.
All right. Philly Jeff, you made a comment about my picture and production of Oriole Magic. We're searching for that Oriole Magic. Can't seem to find it. Chris Davis still
what is that whole thing?
Hasn't been what?
What is this whole RM Productions thing?
Well, actually, we are being taken over. MQFL is being taken over by RM Productions. It's a corporate conglomerate. And
to be completely fair and honest and transparent, Jeff, RM Productions has always footed the bill for MQFL Live. So it's just
now secret.
Yeah, just coming to the forefront now. No, Jeff Dyer. I've had RM Productions essentially since college. In fact, it started because Reed Mortimer and myself, made little videos and films, and that's how we started with RM. Because both of us had the same initials, Productions.
Okay.
But you know, he's fallen by the wayside, and I've kept it up. So
you got
there.
Rid
you
of
go.
Him. Yep. Made him disappear.
Yeah, well, you know, I have my connections, you know.
Of course.
Okay, then.
All right, we got about five and a half minutes. Let's look ahead to this weekend. And by the way, just as an aside before we do that, my whole point there with the Oriole thing was the Orioles once again seem to be doing nothing. The rumors were that they were, you know, going after Cespedes. Don't hear anything more out of that. The Chris Davis deal is still kind of, I don't know, out there in the ether land somewhere. And I don't know if Davis is going to get any other, you know, real offers from anybody. So maybe he will re-sign with the Orioles for that that deal that they offered him. So, you know, we'll have to see there. Meanwhile, you know, all the other guys that might have been and were talked about being people that the Orioles might sign have all signed either with their original team, like an Alex Gordon with the Royals, or they've gone to another team. So we'll just have to wait and see what the Orioles do. They need to do something. They need to do something, or it's going to be another stupid year of 500 or right around there, in my estimation. Jeff Coles, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, I'd really like to see the Orioles go after a leadoff hitter and somebody can get that engine going.
Yeah. Well, there's been talk about Upton, but once again, they're not really I don't know, not really pursuing it or I don't know what, but Justin Upton would be a nice piece, I think, here in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do. I think so. I think a lot nicer than Cespedes. I think that Cespedes brings his statistics, but when you get down to the World Series, he's flat.
Yeah. Well, and I know you're not terribly thrilled with his clubhouse demeanor. They would not fit in and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he's given any team he's gone to, you know, that much.
Mm-hmm.
Except statistics.
Well, home runs. Yeah. Okay. So we've got four games on tap this week. And by the way, did you guys see the catch by Martavius Bryant that on that touchdown where he went out of bounds with the ball between his legs and that kind of thing? Did you guys see that?
I'm not sure he saw that.
I don't know.
That was unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable. Well, yes, it was. It was an unbelievable catch. I just don't think he secured the ball while he was in bounds. And I know they reviewed it and this, that, and the other, but I just, again, this is one of those things where I kind of feel like, I don't know, the officials, I don't know what happens. There are plays that we see, and we see the replays, and now obviously we're not officials, so whatever, but things that we see, and then they get the other choice is made by the officials from what we think we see, and I don't know what it is that they see or don't see that drives them to that conclusion. But it looked to me like he was still securing the ball with the other hand as he was in the air going out of bounds. So I don't think it was a touchdown. It was a catch, but out of bounds. No? No thoughts? No?
I didn't see
it. It's what it is. It's what it is, you know.
Okay. It's over with.
It was
all
like right. Last year. No, I mean, last year, Dez Bryant, are they really going to say that wasn't a catch? That was a catch. But
yeah.
But it wasn't a catch, so, you know.
Yeah. All right. So, okay, we got we got Kansas City at New England. Predictions here.
I really like Kansas. Kansas City with their defense is going to do to Tom Brady what you need to do to Tom Brady, which is to pressure him. And that Kansas City defense is going to carry them.
In New England. Okay.
Yes.
Philly Jeff?
Yeah, I so dislike everything Belichick. I think Kansas City could do it. I think Jeff's correct. I think that the defense, I think, I mean, look what they did to Houston. They gave them nothing. And
right.
Brady's been, I mean, in New England in general, I mean, yeah, I know they won a bunch of games, but they also got beat by the Eagles, who don't have a defense. So I think
right.
Kansas City could do it.
Well, nothing would nothing would thrill me more than to see Kansas City beat New England. I don't know. I'm not feeling that. I think New England at home with Tom Brady, they figure out some way of winning that game. But not that I want that to happen. That's just kind of what I think will happen. So, all right, that's that. Let's look at the other AFC game, Pittsburgh at Denver. Jeff Coles.
Okay. Well, you know, without Tim Tebow, Pittsburgh's not going to get torched again. I still love that play. I tell you what, that's the highlight of his career.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to depend on you've got, Roethlisberger, he's a maybe now next week, right? And
I think they've said he's going to try to play. So, we'll see.
But we'll see how he does. That's going to be. They're going to be hobbled. And Landry Jones didn't look good out there the last time. I don't really like either one of these teams, to be honest with you. I'm not an Elway fan. I'm not a Pittsburgh fan, but I think I'm going to have to give it to Denver.
Okay. Philly Jeff?
It depends on which Peyton shows up. I think that's really what it is. If it's good Peyton, Pittsburgh's going to get destroyed. If it's bad Peyton, now we roll the dice.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my take. I think Denver wins this game. Pittsburgh's running defense is terrible. It's like 30 or 31st in the league. I don't think it matters what Peyton we have as long as he is the general on the field, because if their game plan is right, they run the ball because they can on Pittsburgh, and Peyton throws what he needs to throw in the short kind of game. I doubt he tries to even throw it long. And I think that Denver controls the ball with the run and the short pass. And I believe their defense, Jeff Coles, like you were saying about the Kansas City defense on New England, I think Denver's defense will be able to put pressure on Ben keep him off his game, if not knock him out because of that sore shoulder. So I think Denver takes Pittsburgh in Denver on that one. Seattle, Carolina. Go ahead.
I was going to say, hopefully Peyton will remember where his depends, and it'll be fine.
And eat his pizza.
Okay.
Got to have his pizza.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Philly Jeff, Seattle, Carolina. Of course, I know who you're going to pick.
This past weekend, what my brother say? Cam doing the dab. I think Carolina, especially after what I just saw, is probably too strong for Seattle this weekend.
Yeah. Jeff Coles.
Seattle really got a gift. They're not here because of what they did. They're here because of something that happened with Minnesota. Carolina's going to take them, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you on that as well. And finally, Green Bay and Arizona. Green Bay playing in Arizona. Philly Jeff.
Oh, I'll tell you something, man. After what I saw Aaron Rodgers finally do, but then it's Carson Palmer. Wow, that comes down to a field goal, I think, and I can't pick that one. It's just probably too close. As long as Blair Walsh isn't the kicker.
Jeff Gold.
You know, there's actually an opportunity for the opponents of the first Super Bowl and the opponents of this upcoming Super Bowl to be the same teams. But, if Green Bay and Kansas City were to
Kansas
advance.
Kansas City, yeah. Right.
Green Bay, I was actually a little bit impressed. I mean, I've kind of been disappointed with them all year, but I don't think they're strong enough for Arizona. I think Arizona's going to take them.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think Arizona's defense is really good. Green Bay has not been able to play well against good defenses. Now, Washington had a good defense, but not a great defense. Arizona has a great defense. So I don't think we'll see the same Aaron Rodgers that we saw in Washington in Arizona. And Carson Palmer I think at this point, Carson Palmer and Cam Newton are two guys that really need to be in that MVP, discussion. So, I think Arizona takes this. All right.
Yeah.
There we go. We didn't predict any scores. I'm not going to do that this time around, but at least we put our predictions in there and we'll see what happens this weekend. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday, and then after that we're off to the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship, and all that should be good and interesting. So, all right, guys, any last thoughts, Philly Jeff?
Well, I kind of hope that by the time we speak next, that maybe the Eagles will have a head coach. I think maybe it's we just got to get it done so we can start moving forward with what we know rather than a maybe. And again, I'm not impressed with any guy I've seen yet, but maybe I'm not seeing all of it. So we'll see.
Oh, agreed.
What the hell was that?
Sorry.
Was that the Tom Coughlin boogie?
that was a little loud on our outro music. That was a little loud. Okay, Jeff Cole, final thoughts for you.
Well, he's praying for a quarterback or a head coach. I'm saying, hey, look, Cleveland's gotten along without a head coach for years.
Yeah. All right, and here in the Charm City, I'm praying for a full and swift recovery for Mr. Flacco and Mr. Suggs and the rest of the entire Ravens team that's in the whirlpool at this point, so that we can look at a decent year next year and a nice draft pick. So, all right, gentlemen, enjoy the divisional playoff round this weekend, and we'll be back together again next week for more of Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live under the umbrella of RM Productions. Now, there you go. So this is Rob McQuay for Jeff Coles and Philly Jeff Dyer. Hope you all have a terrific week, and join us again next week for more Baltimore Sports Talk.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the BlogTalkRadio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte. The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.